Special U.S. envoys from the new administration are already working in the Middle East and Afghanistan. European officials have been flocking to Washington to meet the new Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and now she's going to travel to East Asia. She begins the trip this weekend. She'll visit China, Japan, Indonesia, and South Korea on a week-long trip. And NPR's Michelle Kellerman has more.
Her first trip will take her to several Asian capitals, including Beijing, the same city where Hillary Clinton made a groundbreaking speech at an international conference on women in 1995.
It is time to break the silence. It is time for us to say here in Beijing, and for the world to hear, that it is no longer acceptable to discuss women's rights as separate from human rights.
Though she's still likely to raise human rights issues, she travels to China this time with a much broader agenda. Her aides say she'll focus mainly on climate change and the global financial crisis. She recently told reporters at the State Department that she'll be pursuing a comprehensive dialogue with China. In preparation for the trip, she's been meeting with experts on the region, including a former Bush administration official, Michael Green.
The fact that Hillary Clinton is making Asia her first stop is very important in signaling to the region U.S. commitment and in focusing the State Department and the U.S. government on the challenges and opportunities there.
Green, now with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says the stop in Indonesia, where President Barack Obama lived as a child, is one to watch because it's a large Muslim nation, a democracy with growing influence in the region. Another issue that's likely to be a theme throughout the trip is how to deal with North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Woodrow Wilson scholar Selig Harrison says he doesn't envy the next U.S. negotiator on that subject. Just back from his 11th trip to Pyongyang, Harrison says he's convinced that North Korea's leader did have a stroke, that hawks are now in control of foreign policy there, and North Korea is unlikely to give up plutonium that officials there claim they've weaponized.
The United States has offered the normalization of relations with North Korea as the reward for denuclearization. Now North Korea is asking us to reverse the sequence. They want us to accept them as a nuclear weapons state while moving at the same time toward friendly relations.
Harrison's suggestion for the Obama administration is to try to revive talks on a missile limitation deal and persuade Japan to help get the six-party denuclearization talks back on track by delivering promised fuel to North Korea. Harrison says the North Korean officials he met last month made clear that energy is a priority.
They certainly stay on message, and that was the message. And, of course, if you're in Pyongyang in January when it's so cold and you find that the Ministry of Trade is like walking into an icebox, you know, they're all feeling the energy shortage very, very acutely. So to them, this energy quid pro quo in the negotiations was very important.
There are some concerns that North Korea could soon test fire a long-range missile, which would complicate Clinton's North Korea policy review. Wendy Sherman, who led the transition team at the State Department for President Obama, says she has a message to Pyongyang: give the U.S. some time to put its team in place.
Be patient. No one has forgotten you. You are unforgettable.
Speaking at the Korea Economic Institute here in Washington, Sherman said she expects Secretary Clinton to talk with U.S. allies in the region to try to figure out a way to get North Korea back on the disarmament track. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.